Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and the cast a wishful eye.
Hi, this is Jay Webb of International Gospel Hour. Since 1934, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. Please stay tuned for another lesson on this program by Jody Apple. Are you listening?
For the promised land.
Thank you, Jay, and greetings. We are glad that you have tuned into our program, Are You Listening? We encourage you to open your Bible as we dig deep into God's Word today. We continue our study of the phrase, through faith, that we first observed in Galatians 3, verse 26. That text reads, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Today, we continue our study of that expression, through faith, as it appears in Hebrews 6, verse 12. We encourage you to join us as we study and as we are blessed by God's Word today. A quick reminder, we air 6 programs in series each week. To access these programs, go to internationalgospelhour.com. For questions or comments about today's program, or about any biblical topic, or to follow us online, call us at 1-855-IGH-6988. That toll-free number is available every hour of the day and every day of the week. You can also message us using either the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com or through Facebook at facebook.com/internationalgospelhour. You can write to us at International Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 118, Fayetteville, Tennessee 37334. And you can follow us at both facebook.com/International Gospel Hour and at twitter.com/Jody Apple. One last thing before we start. We would like to give you a free copy of the book, Victory in Jesus. To receive a print copy, call 1-855-IGH-6988. Leave your name and mailing address, and we will send a copy to you right away. To receive a digital copy of the book, Victory in Jesus, simply send an email to free@ighradio.com. Let's get back into a study of God's Word. Today, we continue right where we ended our last study together. As our most recent program ended, we were just about to begin an analysis of Hebrews chapter 6, with points of comparison to Paul's Galatian letter. Let's start there now. Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3, reads as follows. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." When the Hebrews writer prompted his readers to leave elementary principles of Christ, he was not encouraging them to forget or to forsake those elementary principles. As we repeatedly noted in our study of Galatians, not just in the through faith passages, Paul constantly encouraged Galatian Christians to continue what God had started. This passage in Hebrews chapter 6 does the same sort of thing. As Rogers and Rogers note, citing Hughes, "The leaving does not mean to despise or abandon the elementary doctrines. The point is that the beginning is not a stopping place. It is the door to progress and the springboard to achievement." Exactly. Finish what you started, and don't give up now were the rallying cries of Galatians and Hebrews. As the text continues, we see that the writer wanted them to go on to perfection. That means that he wanted them to continue moving toward spiritual maturity, to get to the point of digesting the meat of the Word and not just the milk of the Word. We saw that idea already in the closing verses of Hebrews chapter 5. But In order for them to move forward toward spiritual maturity, the Hebrews must not overlook and or despise the foundation upon which they must continue to build. Paul emphasized the same point of view when he asked the Galatians this question, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Galatians 5, verse 7. You do not finish what God started by stopping here, by stopping at some point short of spiritual maturity. Nor do you finish what God started by stopping now, long before you pass from this life. Obeying the truth has never been a one-and-done kind of thing, not according to God's plan anyway. Only by continually yielding our obedience to the truth will we, perhaps slowly, but always surely, get us to where God wants us to be. The meaning, getting us to what God wants us to be like, means this, becoming more like Him and less like ourselves. Starting a life of faith and faithfulness in Christ, as valuable as that will always be, will never be as valuable as continuing beyond the starting point, ultimately finishing the race that you, that I, that we have started. That finishing the race metaphor appears several times in the New Testament. Paul, the author of the Galatian letter, used that figure of speech with reference to himself, as well as to others, at least three times in the New Testament. In Acts 20:24, he said, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Then in 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul said this, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." In this context, he was comparing and contrasting a physical race with a spiritual race. And then, in 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And then, the writer of Hebrews uses that metaphor in the next to the last chapter of the book. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." As important as the basic or elementary principles of Christ are, faith, repentance, baptism, resurrection, the Hebrews writer, like Paul to the Galatians, constantly presses his audience to move forward. But what happens if Christians fail to grow, fail to move towards maturity, fail to complete the race that they started? As we continue further into the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews, we learn just what could happen. Consider the following three verses, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. They read, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." In these three verses, we encounter a striking, perhaps even shocking, parallel to Paul's Galatian epistle. Paul did not write the Galatians with dire warnings about their current and their future spiritual condition in vain. Paul had a very specific understanding of their current spiritual condition. From his perspective, and we must remember that as an apostle, he was inspired by the Spirit to write this letter, thus making his perspective God's perspective. From his perspective and God's, the Galatians were out of harmony with God's will. They changed the gospel, they perverted the gospel, and they seemed intent on staying right where they were. Paul wrote to correct their thinking, to correct their practice, because Paul feared that if they continued on the spiritual trajectory they were on, they could and would be lost. Don't believe it? Do you remember these words from Paul? "But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." Galatians 1, verse 8. You might think, surely things could not be that bad for Paul to use such harsh, such stark language? Think again. Paul meant what he said. And to make sure that the Galatians understood what he said and what he meant, he said it again in the very next verse, Galatians 1:9. "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Thayer says of this term, as it appears elsewhere, Romans 9:3, that it was pregnantly equivalent to doomed and so separated from Christ. The New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology notes this. Paul uses the term in the same sense in Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Anyone who preaches a false gospel, even if the one preaching should be an angel, is delivered to destruction by God. Again, it is not a matter of an act of church discipline in the sense of excommunication. The curse rather exposes the culprits to the judicial wrath of God himself. Paul's point to the Galatians, you are endangering your soul's salvation. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of God's Word. A reminder, if you would like to receive a print copy of the book, Victory in Jesus, call 1-855-IGH-6988. Leave your name and mailing address, and we will send a copy to you. If you would like to receive a digital copy of the book, Victory in Jesus, simply send an email to free@ighradio.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcasts.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope, first, that it glorified God. But second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in the series, by going to the Media tab at our site at internationalgospelhour.com.
God be with you.